I'm James Erpine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Wednesday. Woo! Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap are still here. I'm still excited about yesterday on Twitter. At James Erpine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. Woo-hoo-hoo! On today's show, you're going to hear part of, and in fact, not even part of. I think it's such a big deal that if you missed on ESPN 1530, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, their press conference, I'm going to air it here. You're going to hear the audio, and obviously it's not live because it's a podcast. To me, it was about 30 minutes. Geno Atkins never speaks. You'll probably never hear him on the podcast again. He never talks to the media ever, ever, ever. Carlos Dunlap does. You've heard him on the podcast before, but you're going to hear their press conference at Paul Brown Stadium. I had station obligations, couldn't go to the press conference itself, but we were airing it, and we aired it on ESPN 1530, and I'm going to put that on the back end of today's podcast so you can listen to that. I think there were some really good nuggets in there. Not only was Geno Atkins someone who I had never heard talk to the media, never, seriously, since I've been covering the team, never have I heard him talk to the media. Not only did he talk to him, but I thought he was quite entertaining. And so I will leave that on the back end of today's podcast for you to listen to. I also thought something Carlos Dunlap said about the facilities, about the upgrades, about what the Bengals have done as an organization was quite interesting. Also, Joel Corey, a former sports agent, now writes for CBS Sports. You're going to hear my interview with him on today's podcast as well. I think it's great. I think it is great. And yesterday I talked about this a bit. The championship window is cracked now. That's what it is. The championship window for the Bengals is cracked. And it might grow. And it might get bigger. And it might be, boom, through the roof, wide open in 2019. Let me paint a picture for you, Bengals fans, Locked On Bengals listeners. By the way, I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in today. Can you imagine the Bengals winning the AFC North this season? That doesn't mean win 12 games and beat out Pittsburgh. Is there a way they are better than people think? Let's say they get to 10 wins. And the Steelers aren't as good as people think, especially that defense, especially with Le'Veon Bell on his way out after this season. And let's say the Steelers get the 9 wins. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger gets dinged up. He is older. Maybe that isn't the case, and it's just a matter of the defense. Maybe it's a matter of Le'Veon Bell, who's had his fair share of injury history. But isn't there a path, even without injury, where the Steelers go 9-7, 10-6, and the Bengals do the same? Now, maybe the Bengals don't win the AFC North, but they're in contention for it. Maybe they just get a wild card. But let's say the Bengals go 10-6 or 9-7. I predicted before training camp they would go 9-7. I will stick by that. Nothing I've seen in the preseason has led me one way or the other. I think it's been a mixed bag, which leads me right to that 9-7 mark that I've been at. Now, will that change? Will I come out with an official prediction? Of course I will. But as of this moment, I would still lean around 9-7 for this team. Let's say that happens. Then this offseason, let's say the Bengals go out and get a right tackle in free agency. Or how about this? The Bengals draft a right tackle with the 22nd overall pick. Or maybe they trade up, which certainly not something they've done in the past, not something they've been open to. They've also not been open to trading back for a left tackle who had $30 million left on his deal. But they did that this offseason. The point is that their one weakness is the right side of that offensive line. Next offseason, I expect them to fix that weakness. Next offseason, I expect to see a Cordy Glenn, Clint Bowling, Billy Price, probably a new right guard in a new right tackle. One could be a free agent, the other, who knows? Maybe it'll be a draft pick, maybe it'll be a free agent. I expect that line to be even more different. Frank Pollock will be in his second year. Bill Lazor's second year of his offense as well. I think they'll know a ton. Joe Mixon will be playing for a contract then. He's a second-round pick, has 4 years on his deal. He's in year two, will be in year three, going into year three next year. he will be looking to do what he can to get an extension following the 2019 season. John Ross, same thing. Obviously, the Bengals have control over him with a fifth-year option potential. He's going to want to prove that he deserves that fifth-year option. So he'll have a lot to prove as well. This team's window is starting to open again. We saw it a couple years ago. It was wide open. But do you remember the growing pains that the Bengals had to endure to get there? 2011, look, yeah, they were 9-7, but it was ugly. You didn't really give them a shot in the playoff game, did you? 2012, you thought that there was a real shot, and then they were still a little, probably a little ahead of schedule. 2013, what happened? Boom, they hit the ground running. 2013, I thought they were going to be really, really good. I certainly thought they were going to beat San Diego in the playoffs. 2014, derailed by injuries. 2015, they stayed healthy. They started 8-0, and barring an Andy Dalton thumb injury, they would have gotten a bye in the AFC playoffs. That's the reality. But it was a process to get there. I think this year is that process year. This year is that 2012 season. This year, hopefully, is like 2012-2013. And they can hopefully avoid the injury bug that just destroyed them, ravaged them, beat the hell out of them in 2014. That's how I look at this team. And you don't get to that point. You don't get to that place without extending Geno Atkins. You don't get to that place without extending Carlos Dunlap. Those are two guys you needed. Those are two guys you needed. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. Now, things have to go well this year. They do. But there's certainly a scenario, and I said it yesterday, where next year the Bengals are the favorites in the AFC North. And Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap being here long-term, certainly a part of that. Darquez Dennard. What's his future with this team? I know a lot of you had that question. I caught up with Joel Corey, CBS Sports, earlier today to talk about Dennard. I asked him about Dennard. I asked him about Dunlap and more. But I started off by asking him about Geno Atkins, who signed a four-year, $65.3 million contract extension. That is a $16.3 million average per season, which is the most for a 30-plus-year-old non-quarterback in NFL history. And I started off by asking Joel a simple question. What does this mean for Geno? Is this a good deal for him? And was it a good deal for the Bengals?
That's the guy I thought would have been the priority. I thought he would have been done much sooner. It's a great deal for the Bengals, given he's the second best interior pass rusher in the league behind Aaron Donald. I know he's a little bit older guy, but at the same time, Bengals are smart to get this thing done before Aaron Donald reset the market, because sometimes when you have a deal actually done as opposed to projecting one, teams will be more likely to acknowledge that deal, and then the agent can definitively go, hey, we may have to reset the negotiation. I think that was a smart move by the Bengals to do that.
Gotcha. You can follow Joel on Twitter at Corey Joel and catch his work at CBS Sports. I thought so too. I thought it was smart to get a deal done before Aaron Donald. As from that perspective, I look at the Bengals and they got it done before Donald. And I'm looking at Khalil Mack as well. Was that, and I know they play different positions, but do you think that was important for the Bengals to get it done before some of these other pass rushers signed extensions?
I may have rolled the dice on Dunlap just from the standpoint you got Carl Lawson, who is proving he can get to the quarterback. I know they want to give him loaded snaps so he doesn't wear down, but what if he proves that he can play more full-time? I have no idea what the Bengals are doing with Jordan Willis. Guy led team in sacks last preseason, has gotten to the quarterback this year. To me, at the very least, he should be splitting reps with Michael Johnson, if not the playing time reversed. And you have Sam Hubbard. Dunlap's only had one double-digit sack season. If he had a great year, then you would have been looking at a franchise tag at about $17.5 million. But given they wanted to do the deal now, it's appropriate considering Everson Griffin signed for $14.5 million last year.
Former sports agent, now CBS Sports national writer, Joel Corey is with us. You could follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. And then I see this, and from a Bengals perspective, I've grown up in Cincinnati. I've watched the criticisms that ownership has gotten, that front office has gotten. Put yourself in your agent role again. From an agent's perspective, does it change the perception of the Bengals at all that they went out and invested $110 million into Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap?
Well, I think that whole reputation of being cheap has carried over way too far from the past. I know they're like Pittsburgh and Green Bay in terms of the lack of guarantees. So if you're going to do a deal in Cincinnati, it's going to have that type of structure with the roster bonuses in year two and three, where things aren't technically guaranteed but may be considered practically guaranteed. And you're not going to get a free agent to come in at a substantial level the way you negotiate a contract. What this does do is it bodes well for A.J. Green next year, who will be in a contract. If you're going to do these two guys, then you have to think that you're going to extend A.J. Green as long as he doesn't fall off a cliff this year, which means that he's probably on a, I don't know, 3-4 year basis, might be rivaling Odell Beckham Jr. in terms of an average.
Joel Corey, excuse me, is with us here on ESPN 1530. One more for you, because it sounded like you were on board with the Atkins deal, not so much the Carlos Dunlap extension. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, because you got three young pass rushers. One, Lawson, who can get to the quarterback. Jordan Willis is a hidden gem. I don't know why you don't play him. And Hubbard, so far, so good. Mm-hmm. That maybe you see what they do, and then you could have delayed the decision on Dunlap. Would have been a calculated risk, because if he blows up, he could price himself out. Has a 15-sack year or something, has a ton of pressures, maybe he prices himself out. But at the same time, if it's about where it should be if you're going to do the extension, because that's about the range. You had Daniel Hunter, a young guy, who I don't know why he did it, signed a deal for $14.4 million per year. And if he's that, and you knew you were going to have to franchise him next year, and Griffin, his counterpart for the Vikings, is at $14.5 million, and that deal was last year. If you're going to do the deal for Dunlap, then $15 million per year seems appropriate.
One last question for Joel Corey of CBS Sports here on ESPN 1530. Joel, as far as other extensions go, the Bengals, they have a few guys coming up. One would be fifth-year corner Darquez Dennard. He's in the last year of his deal. Obviously, the Bengals exercised a fifth-year option on him. What do you think a type of deal would be for a Darquez Dennard, a guy who primarily plays in the nickel, but certainly was exciting and played well a year ago?
Well, that's the problem. You already have one corner that's making $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. You've got a huge keeper on the other side in Jackson. How much are you going to pay your third corner? That's what they have to decide. And if he plays well, you're never going to be able to sign him, because somebody's going to go out and pay him starter money. It could be I'm not going to say it's an A.J. Bouye situation, because he'd have to have a phenomenal year for that to happen. But if you play well and you're a reserve corner, there's going to be a team which is going to pay you at least like a second starter.
So if you were Darquez Dennard's agent, would you even be listening to offers from the Bengals now, or would you say, Darquez, go out there, perform well, and you'll get paid a year from now?
Oh, I'd listen to see what the offer was, so I'd at least have a baseline to know, here's what they're thinking about me, knowing that it's probably going to have to knock my socks off to accept it, and I don't think the Bengals are going to knock your socks off position with Dennard.
He's Joel Corey of CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. Joel, I appreciate the time, especially on short notice. Have a good day, my man. Thanks for coming on.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That's Joel Corey. I caught up with him earlier today on ESPN 1530. The Darquez Dennard thing. Look, if you're his agent, you're saying, hey, unless you get offered bank, you're going to just stay put, play through this, and go get paid like a number one or number two corner this offseason. Unfortunately, that's probably what they're looking at. Now, who knows? Maybe we are talking about that window, and the Bengals look at it and say, hey, we're going to franchise Darquez for 1 year. I doubt that happens. I really doubt it. Who knows? Maybe the other thing is if Dre Kirkpatrick struggles, look, we've seen them cut George Iloka, we've seen them cut Brandon LaFell. Could they realistically cut Dre and then use that money and apply it to a contract extension for Darquez Dennard? I could see that as well. So still some possibilities, even though I don't expect the Bengals to get an extension done with Darquez Dennard before the season starts. And that's kind of their deadline, week one of the season. I don't think it happens. I don't think his agent will let it happen, which is probably smart, based on what you just heard from Joel Corey, a former sports agent, now with CBS Sports. Up next, if you missed it, even though we aired it on ESPN 1530, I'm going to air it. Geno Atkins speak. So does Carlos Dunlap. It's their press conference for their extension. $110 million the Bengals committed to both of those guys. You'll hear them next on the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm James Rapine, and this is the Locked On Bengals podcast. At noon today, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap got together, had a press conference. You never get to hear Geno Atkins. I thought Carlos Dunlap had some good points as well, so I said, what the hell? I'm going to air the whole thing here on the Locked On Bengals podcast. Here's Geno, here's Carlos earlier today at Paul Brown Stadium when they met with the media.
Geno, 100 sacks out of a free technique. Man, that's getting it done.
Yeah, that would be pretty impressive.
So, is it important to you to be like you, the two of you? I mean, each of you guys, maybe a 100-sack guy, but a couple hundred sacks out of
I mean, what's important to me is just trying to, you know, have a good season this year and, you know, get to the playoffs and try to win the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
When did you guys know that both of you were coming close to coming to an agreement at the same time?
I really didn't know. I mean, obviously, both sides were talking, but I didn't know that it was going to happen at the same time. So, I mean, it's a pretty cool surprise.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience for me. I woke up knowing that, you know, that there was rumors that Geno's was really close to being done, but I didn't know that we were going to be able to get mine done the same day, but I knew that they were going to shift the focus to, you know, trying to get mine done, and it worked out that we get it done the same day, and here we are. Now we get to just focus on football and focus on building it better, like Coach says, and getting to that Super Bowl and getting that first playoff win, all these things that the city and us all want together.
Geno, how much of this offseason did you think about wanting to get this done, to think about football? Was that something that was on your mind at all to try to put this in the rear view for you?
Not really on my mind. I wanted to get something done. I wanted to kind of finish my career here, but obviously it was business as usual.
You two were drafted the same year, had your extensions around the same time both times. What has it meant to the two of you to have each other through this whole process the last, 8 years?
For me, it's been an unbelievable experience. I can't name too many, top-end rushers that have a dominant presence like Geno inside. And just, you know, he don't say a lot, as you know, but he plays big. So he lets that speak for himself.
You guys are both good examples of, in today's football, taking care of your body, you know, the massages. I mean, everything goes along. It takes a village to keep your body right, it seems like. When did both of you realize how important that was to prolong your career?
Just by kind of going to the Pro Bowl, talking to some of the older guys that's actually been able to do it at a consistent level, and just kind of figuring it out, picking their brain a little bit on what they do, what eating habits, workouts, sleeping habits, stuff like that, and just kind of applying it to my regimen.
So yeah. You guys do stuff together. I mean, like, D-line gets a lot of this stuff done together. Don't you do some stuff together that way?
Some of us do, you know, a variety of different things. Everybody has their own regimen. Mine wasn't at the Pro Bowl my first year. Mine was actually in the locker room, talking to the vets in the locker room who had 10 years or were pushing on 10 years. And I took bits and pieces from them, you know, communicating with them, talking to them about what they did or things that they do, things that worked out for them that they would recommend that I start early on in my career. And they were coincidentally the exact same things that Geno just mentioned.
Geno, how do you approach taking plays or series off now as maybe you did compared to earlier in your career? Is that something you're more open to, and the idea of, hey, about extending yourself further into your career?
It's pretty much the same since college, honestly. I believe in like a firm rotation. Kind of go in there, play 4, 5, 6 snaps hard, get the next guy in, just coming in back in fresh. So that's how I approach it.
Has that been a thing where you're particularly loving all these young guys in your room right now, whether you're talking about Ryan, I know you spell you, and then Sam and Jordan and everybody that's been part of it. How much have you really embraced those guys coming up and helping you out in that way?
I embraced them. Like I said yesterday, it's kind of like a full circle moment. Honestly, I used to be those young guys kind of coming in and having veterans like Domantas Peko, Robert Gathers, Tank Johnson, kind of them helping me along the way. And now it's just kind of come full circle. And now I'm doing the same thing by helping them. And I mean, it's Because like I said, if I get him better or I get the other guys better, it's going to help me in the long run. It's going to help the team in the long run. So, I mean, if everybody gets better, the team wins.
Have you ever thought about the Hall of Fame?
Not really, honestly. I take it year by year. I just kind of do my job and basically look forward to this season, but do my job. And then when 2019 happens, look forward to it.
Have you ever looked at where your numbers currently stack up? Has anybody ever showed that to you or ever seen?
I've seen it, but I mean, I don't pay much attention because all you can control is today, honestly. You can't start looking into the future. I mean, that's it. You're just looking. Honestly, I just kind of try to do my job and do it good.
What would your Hall of Fame speech sound like?
I haven't thought about that yet.
Would you give a speech?
Would I give a speech? Only time will tell.
So, in today's football, 30 years old is nothing. I mean, back in the day, 30 was like a line of demarcation. Now you got a 41-year-old quarterback in the Super Bowl, making the Pro Bowl every year. I mean, when you guys look at the span of your career, do you even consider age or anything, or just how your body is?
I don't really consider age, honestly. I mean, with today's sports science and all that advancement of how to take care of your body and all the knowledge that goes into like what we do now with modalities and all that, trying to keep you fresh for game day and keep you and with the training staff with the whole cold tub, hot tub, Normatec, STEM and all that, I think that really age isn't even a factor anymore. Honestly, I think guys can now extend their career bearing any injuries till, you know, 30 plus to like mid-30s really.
Chino, do any younger guys in the league play your position? Do they reached out to you? Do you reach out to them? Do you talk to some of the younger
guys? Larry from the Cleveland Browns, he kind of came out there and worked out with me a little bit. And then some of the guys that work with Chip Smith facility at CES Sports, they say, hey, I see you on Instagram or I see the clips on Instagram, and they kind of want to come down and work out with me a little bit.
You talked about ending your career in Cincinnati. Why is that so important to you, as opposed to maybe testing the market, one of the top guys at your position, seeing what would be out there?
I mean, they're the team that drafted me. I love it here. I love the city. I love the organization. And it's something to kind of submit my legacy here. And I think that's important to kind of finish where I started. And I basically want to kind of, we got unfinished business, this whole team, me and Los, and trying to bring Super Bowl to Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
You bull rush a guy like you did Dukas. You posterize a ton of guards, man, by just that bull rush move. Wait, did they ever, like, say anything? You ever hear any weird sounds coming out of them or anything?
I mean, the only thing I kind of hear is more so is like, damn, why are you bullying? Or not the bull again, or, you know, stuff like that. But, I mean, that's like my number one thing, bull rush.
That's your signature move, right? Yeah.
You ever feel bad when you do that to somebody?
I don't feel bad because I'm trying to do my job. They're trying to do their job. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Carlos, were you guys upstairs at the same time? When you guys went up to sign, did you guys pass each other in the hall?
I actually saw it on social media and through text messages that Gino signed. And we were up there meeting with my agent pretty much right after that. And it just happened to play out.
What's your signature move, Carlos? I mean, what's your move that you can go to when you have to make a big play?
I mean, I feel like that would be giving away the whole toolbox. But my go-to, you know, I like to beat them with the speed on the outside, and there's a variety of ways that I like to do that. But that would typically be my go-to. But I have a bull rush, but it's not as impactful as my big fella right next to me. Just having that variety, that full tool set of moves that you can use, because, you know, as you know, different tackles set differently in the league, so different moves work better against them. So I like to study what's effective against them, or what I do effectively, or if it's game time, third down, game's on the line, then I know what to go to.
I saw you do it to Connor Williams the first snap in Dallas, rookie guard in Texas. You're going to show him what you got, you know, possibly show him first snap. I mean, when you're thinking about your individual game plan, do you like study tape while he's high and do it right away? Or I'm gonna impose my will at this stage of the game, or is it just spontaneous?
A little bit of both. I mean, it could be a game plan thing where I watch film and I'm like, okay, he doesn't have a strong anchor, so I'm gonna go start it off with the bull. Or it could be I'm working a move. He might he might stop my first move, and then I just come back with a counter with the bull. So it all depends.
What sort of ripple effect might yesterday's news have on potential free agents in the future in terms of considering this place as a place to come play?
I think with this news coming out, you know, them securing guys who they drafted and are up for their second deals, securing them here for a long haul goes to, you know, a true testament of how much of the family organization, the type of organization that we have here, the type of locker room we have here, that we both would want to sign up and stay here. You know, despite what our last two seasons have been, we feel very encouraged about getting back to that top-notch football that we have and improving on that, and, you know, getting to the Super Bowl is our goal. Super Bowl is our goal. We got the business side done. Now we can just focus on football and play that game that we loved playing since we were kids.
What does it say to other free agents, and maybe other organizations as well, that, you know, no holdouts, nothing, you know, some guys are still holding out. You know, it's been long, it's been maybe a little, a little acrimonious. It seems like you guys just came, went to work, got deals done. I mean, what does that say to other players and other teams around the league?
I mean, they take care of their own. I mean, honestly, you do it the right way, show up, you know, go to OTAs, training camp, do all the stuff, you know, don't make a big hoopla or and talking to media about it. And I mean, honestly, they take care of their own.
Yeah, majority of the time, if you keep it out of the media and don't go back and forth with the team and the media, you won't burn any bridges, and you keep it in a positive light, as we were both fortunate enough to do. Obviously, Gino was the silent assassin the whole time, but we know Gino was, you know, easy. It was no debatable. It was undebatable for Gino to get a deal, whether or not he deserved a deal here, because we've all seen the career that he's had. And fortunately for me, get to play with him and the A.J. Greens, the Andy Daltons, the Carl Lawsons coming up, Tyler Eifert, Vontaze Burfict, all the guys that we have on this team, and continue to build it better, because everybody's here for a while, and we got a good team, and we got a lot of young talent that's secured under deals, and as you've seen in this preseason, they're all showing flashes. So just go get it done.
When you have days like Sunday and you see all this talent, how far do you think the defensive line can go this year?
For me, seeing the rotation, like Gino talked about being fresh late in the games, late in the playoffs, late in the season, that's going to be a true testament. If you have a guys like us who are experienced and have that time to get after the quarterback going into the season feeling like it's day one, I feel like, in that, like you saw in the Super Bowl with what Philly was able to do, they had a strong rotation. Guys were constantly getting after the quarterback. They pretty much wrecked the game as a defensive line, and we feel like we have that same ability with what we got here and the mixed combination of the older guys here, me, Mike, Gino, and, you know, Billen stepping up, and then we got the young guys that are coming in too. Sam Hubbard, the local hero, Carl Lawson, Jordan Willis, Ryan Glasgow. You can just keep on going.
What point in your careers did you guys realize you could be dominant? I mean, did you realize it yourselves? From other people, when did you say, man, if I work my tail off, man, I could be really good?
I can't say there was no epiphany. Yeah, no breaking point. More so for me personally, I'm not going to speak for him. I just had these goals, and I was constantly working on these goals, and my goals were typically the furthest ones away, because I feel like if I reach for those and work towards those, all the other ones will fall in line along the way. And as you know, getting that career sack record here was one of them. Getting that sack record of the NFL is one of them. And, you know, that career sack record of the NFL is one of them, you know. And as you said, it would take more than 100 for us to move up that list, because right now me and Gino are on the list, but we got a lot of people to surpass before we can get in that top 10, which we were left.
You know right away?
I mean, it was a process, but honestly, I want to say after my first year and then me kind of going back, because I think my first year, they didn't really think I could play the run a little bit, and then my second year, I kind of worked on that a little bit, and then I got my shot my second year, where I ended up being a starter, and I played the first game, and I kind of felt like, okay, I can be a three-down guy. So.
Is there anybody you watch on, Gino, is there anybody you watch on tape, anybody you plays you the disappointed now? Is there anybody you watch?
I watch a lot of guys, seeing what they're doing. So anywhere from Mike Daniels, Jerry McCoy, Sue, Aaron Donald, Kawan Short, just various guys to see what they're doing, see what technique, if they go against somebody that I might be playing, see what moves they did that worked and try to apply it to my game.
Do you have a favorite?
No favorite, but I'm a fan of everybody, honestly. I mean, I like to see a big man work and win, so.
Well, you're a small man, supposedly, in your position, but it doesn't see you and Donald.
I mean, I think the trend is more so 6'1", 6'2".
Why is that?
I think more so leverage, short, stocky, strong guys, and I think also just we got the leverage and strength and power, honestly, like me, Aaron Donald, Jared Grady, Quan Short's probably a little
bit
taller.
Some say you made Donald a first-round pick.
I think if you look at his Pittsburgh film, honestly, he was an amazing talent from the get-go.
John Randall? You look at guys, but not even, you know, some of the older guys?
Yeah, when Jay was here, Jay Hayes, he used to kind of show clips of the older guys and back in his generation and stuff like that. He used to watch some clips.
Right. Yeah, you're not a small man. You're maybe not tall, but you're far from a small man.
Yeah.
You're a husband now. You're going to be a dad. Does that make this different than maybe the first contract that you signed? This is a kind of a bigger deal when you look at life differently even a little bit now.
It's a blessing, honestly. I got, secured this contract, and now, honestly, it's just icing on – really, that was just icing on the cake, honestly. The blessing was being able to – me and my wife being – my wife being pregnant, and now signing the contract is just kind of icing on the cake, and now – being blessed to have either a boy or a girl, I mean, it's amazing.
Are you gonna find out, or are you going to wait until it's born?
We'll probably find out sometime in the next couple of weeks what the sex it is.
What's your dad think? I mean, he played in the league a few years back, and seeing the money that's being made now, what's your dad think about it?
He's happy for me. He played 10 years in the league. Honestly, says it's a blessing, and, honestly, he says keep doing your thing.
Are you guys able to wrap your brain around $110 million on your contracts? Is that even a number that even makes sense?
Maybe we gotta one, we gotta get there first. So we gotta get them. What, 5 years?
Yeah, or four or five. It is a yearly renewal in the NFL, as we all know. But for me personally, we don't look at the total number. We look at the business being done, so now we can focus on football and winning that Super Bowl for this city and this organization. Everybody will win, and we'll win again. So that's our main focus. We just basically can, cut the chains off of here. You know, something that may be dragging you, even though you try not to think about it, it's there. Because at the end of the day, you don't know. It's a question mark. But now you just get to focus on simply football and find a way to do something better or help a young guy get better so that we can all put it all together. And that's what it's going to take for us to win. And we have the opportunity here because the talent's on the roster, but we just got to put it together the right way. And you see the coaches are committed to doing so, as you saw with the changes and as you see what's going on around this organization this year and how the young guys are responding, how everybody's responding. We're going to get after it. It's going to be a special season.
Has the organization or coaches said, with this agreement comes an increased responsibility, or are they like, you guys are already doing everything, you're setting great examples, let's just roll, let's just keep working the way you work and nose to the grindstone the way you've always done it?
Business as usual, honestly. I mean, I think me, Los, Mike have done a good job with the D-line. They've done a good job of kind of showing them the ropes and kind of teaching them. You see it out there on the field, Lawson with Willis, Sam, Glass. I think Tupo's coming along too. So I think we're doing a good job with leading the D-line. And then next, the defense, trying to get everybody just running on all cylinders going.
Talk to the guys in this town who signed big contracts for Bengals or Reds. And most of them said it's not necessarily the money. It's kind of what the money represents. In other words, I'm getting paid this. That shows a level of respect for what I've accomplished. So along those lines, what do these contracts mean to you guys personally beyond the money?
Personally for us, having the goal, having a daily plan, having, team goals, personal goals, all of those things, put everything else in line. My personal goals, having that rookie sack record, having, the team single season record, career season record. All these goals just make everything fall in line. The market value is what the market value is. You know, the NFL's going to be an international sport, and as you see, the cap keeps going up because of it. Everybody talks about, you know, soccer taking over the world, but I think America's game and soon to be international game will be football once they have a better understanding, even though we all enjoy watching a good football game too.
Over the last 6 months where you guys were, or your agents were negotiating, was there ever a doubt in your mind that, I mean, was it always a matter of when this happens as opposed to if?
I don't think there was any doubt. I think both sides wanted to get the deal done. It was just being patient and just kind of just, you know, just keeping it business as usual, honestly. I mean, I really didn't have any doubt. I thought we were always going to get something done.
You guys are teammates, but, I mean, there's still a competition there to try to get to the quarterback first. Was there any friendly competition to see who got the deal done first?
Not really, no.
No, we both wanted to be here, and we both wanted to do whatever it took to stay here and continue to do what we do. Our competition is on the field, you know, because it's better for everyone. You know, me and him competing to get back to the quarterback is going to...
We're not competing. You're a DN, I'm a D-tackle.
It's going to challenge...
We're not competing.
Carl Lawson, Mike Johnson, whomever, you know, just everybody wants to get back there and pressure that quarterback for our team.
Are you surprised they kept you both?
No, honestly, five years ago we signed, so, I mean, they signed us both, so not really.
See, I mean, it's just so much money. You get AJ hanging out there in Baltimore, $110 million. I don't know if that ever
crushed your mind. We got the pieces that we need, and Cincinnati believes in us being a part of that core, and they kept us here for years to come, and we're thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah, Gino, what do you think about Billings? We talked about Billings.
I mean, I think he's coming along great. I think he's understanding the game a lot better. I think the speed's slowing down. I think he's kind of – Bernie's doing a great job of kind of developing him and being actually, you know, a good run stopper, but also as well as a pass rusher. And I think that's going to help the defense a lot as far as the D-line and the defense, as far as having a big man being able to kind of get there and cause pressure or get sacks like that. Well, you got me, Los, Mike out there or whoever. But having this kind of four guys that consistently get after the passer and stop the run.
Gino, what about Paul's question about, you know, the money is one thing, but the respect. What's your take on that? What do you think about, does this show, you know, respect to Gino Atkins getting this deal done?
I mean, I think I already had the respect. Honestly, I go out there and play. I think a lot of guys respect me and the work that I put out there. I think that was already out there. I just think getting the contract is just a bonus, honestly.
Carlos, you talked about some personal goals. Do you think as a unit you guys can reach that kind of plateau of 50, that goal number?
Absolutely. We have the talent on the roster, and, you know, for years to come, I think it's going to be an amazing race. Every third down, every opportunity, you see how those young guys are going. They're setting the tempo fast and early for what they want to do and their personal goals, and as well as our team goals. I think everyone's in line with that team goal of, you know, winning that Super Bowl.
How did you celebrate?
Do you have any goals, Gino? 100 sacks, Hall of Fame, anything you shoot for?
Win the Super Bowl, honestly. That's my one goal right now. Win the Super Bowl and do my job to the best of my ability.
AJ says he wants to play until he's 36. Do you guys have any goals as to how long you
want to
play or an age, maybe?
My goal is the Super Bowl, and then we'll take it from there. You know, however long it takes to win that and however long I continue to perform at a high level. Right now, like he said, investing in ourselves and taking care of our body has extended that career, because when I first came in, I was aware of the average was 3 to 5 years. So that's why I was trying to figure out how can I extend that, how can I set myself up for, you know, generational wealth. As, you know, for Gino, he was fortunate enough to have his father and the guys at the Pro Bowl kind of give him tips and make that his own trade. And we've been fortunate enough to both stay pretty healthy here for our careers, and we want to keep it that way and do whatever it takes to help this team get that big thing, and that's that Super Bowl.
Significant investment financially as well as commitment, you mentally and physically and everything, is it? I mean, it's a big dollar commitment to stay, keep your body right, isn't it?
It can be, but the Bengals have, made a lot of changes here, and they've added it into their regimen here at the stadium. So they've improved a lot of things here for us. The new kitchen and the facility that we have there, as you know, the new weight room, like he said, all the modalities that we do before the game, 2 days before the game, all of these things, the stuff, the new equipment that they got in the training room, hot tub, cold tub, all the stuff that you see me use and post on social media, those are real regimens. Those are things that are inexpensive because the Bengals have provided them for everyone. So you can do what James do on the high end, spend that much money, which is typically because you're flying everybody in because they're guys that, at their training facility or something like that, that you enjoy working with, that relationship with. But there's a full slew of things that the Bengals have here that can prolong your career, and you can utilize them for free.
Gino, we've all tried to describe the way you play the game. How would you describe the way you play the game?
I try to be fundamentally sound. That's how I would describe it. Try to just do everything, take the right footsteps, hand placement, be in my pass rush lane, stay in my gap, just try to do everything. I mean, that's what coaches at Georgia, when Zimmer was here, that's what he preached, Paulie and the LTA. Just kind of just do my job, but do it to the best of my ability.
So it's technique as much as anything else?
Technique and, honestly, just having that drive to kind of go out there and be the best you can.
Your signature is the bull rush. Is there anybody you talked to or watched that you perfected in the last couple of years? Is there anything that anybody you watched or anybody that gave you a tip that kind of maybe made it easier for you, better for you?
I just think really a bull rush is more so, my will against your will, honestly. I can do other stuff. I do other stuff, but the bull just kind of helps solidify and kind of gets them thinking a little bit. Like, am I going to go back with, am I going to hit them with another power or am I going to do speed? So it kind of gets them guessing a little bit. So.
Do you think you have freakish strength? Physical strength, weight room stuff and all that? You think you're.
I think I'm pretty strong. I don't think I'm the strongest guy out there, but I think, with the speed, with my speed, quickness, and strength all combined, I think, I can get a lot of guys moving.
You mentioned that the drive that you have. Was there ever a time in either of your careers that you had to kind of fight through that and keep that drive? Because I know how much of a grind season can be and the years can be. Did you ever feel that way?
For me, no. Honestly, you go out there on Sundays, you got the next guy trying to kick your ass. So, honestly, I got to bring my A game because if I go there half-stepping, that's a knock on somebody being like, hey, I just got the best of Geno Atkins. So, I try to go out there and, perform the best. You're not going to win every time, but honestly, I try to go out there and do my best.
That's something that Anthony Munoz, 12 straight Pro Bowls, he realized that everybody was trying to put a notch in their belt by showing tape beating Anthony Munoz. You guys feel that way, that there's always somebody trying to put a notch in their belt and you got to bring it every snap so they don't?
I feel like that. I feel like, we're competing. They want to do their job to the best of their ability. I want to do my job, but I feel like, a lot of guys, just like when you see a team or, I guess everybody's circling the Eagles when they play the Eagles, like, hey, they're trying to beat the Super Bowl champs, but I just think that, when you're going up against a good quarterback, you want to be like, hey, I was able to sack Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. So I think every guy probably has some, try to either circle somebody or it's like, I want to beat this guy.
We're feeling like we have to cut these guys loose pretty soon, so let's just do a couple more.
I know we talked a lot about goals and desires for you guys this season. Gino, any goals as far as talking to the media this year? What kind of numbers are you
talking about? I think today's a good day. So honestly. One and done.
You're saying today's good. One and done.
Carlos,
you guys are rubbing off on each other a lot in your careers. You think you can rub off on him a little bit for us?
I think getting him up here was a big step for himself, and I feel like what he did today and everything he said today pretty much gives you enough for the season.
He did
an amazing job.
Can I ask you, as someone that hasn't been in Cincinnati for the length of your career, what is there an aversion to speaking to us? Is it, what is the reason that you don't kind of talk to us? Good or indifferent?
Honestly, I think we got, 66 other guys that have interesting stories that y'all don't even, some of y'all don't even talk to. So I think y'all should explore that, honestly. I'm not that interesting to talk to, so.
Really awkward.
Really
I mean, there's some stuff out there.
That's Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap. I thought that Geno was pretty funny during this press conference. The other thing that stood out was Carlos Dunlap's praise of the facilities. You know, the question was phrased as, oh, James Harrison spends all this money. And Carlos was like, yeah, you can do that. Or you can use this state-of-the-art weight training facility that we have, this workout facility, which, by the way, I would love to get a workout in at that facility. That is one of my goals covering the Bengals. I work out every freaking day almost. And I love the gym I go to, and that's fine. But how cool would it be to be able to work out with, not even with, but where the Bengals work out? That's something I'm going to try to make happen at some point. Pull some strings, maybe during the offseason, and see if that'll work, and I could get that in. But ultimately, praising the facilities. I put a question up on Twitter today, at James Erpine, about the Bengals and whether or not they were cheap. I say they're not cheap. You can't be cheap and spend $110 million on two players. It makes zero sense. And there's more to it than that. I have a feeling I will be talking about that poll question more. I left it open for 7 days, so you can vote at James Erpine, also at Locked On Bengals. Thank you guys for listening today. We'll be back at it tomorrow to discuss actual football preseason, who to watch for, who to not watch for. And I'll be at the game Thursday night, so I'll be tweeting that as well. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcast. If you missed Tuesday, we had two podcasts. It's a two-podcast Tuesday. And so, yeah, check out both of those. Until tomorrow, I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.